Welcome to Blessings from Beulah Street, this weekly program of timeless Southern gospel music and a thoughtful message is brought to you by the Mount Calvary Community Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Along the way, we trust you'll find hope, forgiveness, and resurrection in the music and the message. First up, the Mount Calvary Singers tell us what it takes to be with Jesus.
It takes that seed of faith to get you through the storm. There's nothing that's too big. He'll guide you right along. It takes that seed of faith. He's there for you and me. That seed of faith. Just take that step and see. Now once I thought I ruled the world, these things were all I owned. I lived and breathed all lies, no truth, the road I chose alone. But now I've seen my Savior's face, He guides me through each day. He's filled my life with faith and hope, His love's the only way. It takes that seed of faith to get you through the storm. There's nothing that's too big. He'll guide you right along. It takes that seed of faith. He's there for you and me. That seed of faith. Just take that step and see.
Some of us will close our eyes to fear for what we've heard. The flesh is weak and God is truth. The proof is in His word. So take that step, walk that walk, stand up and praise. And raise your hands and lift your eyes, for He's the only way.
It takes that seed of faith to get you through the storm. There's nothing that's too big. He'll guide you right along. It takes that seed of faith. He's there for you and me. That seed of faith. Just take that step and see. It takes that seed of faith to get you through the storm. There's nothing that's too big. He'll guide you right along. It takes that seed of faith. He's there for you and me. That seed of faith. Just take that step and see. Just take that step and see. Just take that step and take that step and see.
The Mount Calvary Singers on Blessings from Beulah Street. Coming up next, the group Canton Junction with a great rendition of the gospel hymn, I Must Tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves
is a kind and compassionate friend. If I but ask him, oh, he will deliver, make up my troubles quickly.
I must tell Jesus I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share.
I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell
Junction on Blessings from Beulah Street. Today's sermon is based on teachings found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's Mount Calvary's associate pastor, Matt Lanham.
I'll start in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It says, "And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this warm place this morning. While it's a little cool outside, we thank you that we have this place to gather today to worship you. In the next few minutes, as we look into your word, I pray that the words that I say would not be mine, but that they would be yours, and that you would help us to receive the message that you have for us for this time. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Newsflash, 2022 is off to a start, whether you want to call it a good start, bad start, whatever the case might be in your situation. We're already 1 month in, and I don't know about you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but a lot of people on New Year's Day make New Year's resolutions. And statistically, if you look at it, by this coming week, the 1st of February, almost 3/4 of those who made New Year's resolutions on January 1st have already given those up. or they've already broken them. And of course, you know, we go through the motions and we look at these things, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. And obviously, anytime that you can make a resolution or you can resolve to do something to better yourself, it's good. But unfortunately, we often set these high, lofty goals with our resolutions. It's, well, I want to lose X amount of weight. I want to spend less money. I want to do this. I want to do that. You can go down the list. And these are all really good things. But when we look at it, inevitably, a lot of people say, well, New Year's resolutions are made to be broken. And often they are. And in fact, if you go through until the end of the year, you'll find that I think the statistics say less than 20% of people who make a New Year's resolution actually keep it for the whole year. I don't know, it's kind of sad when you look at it, because like I said, a lot of the things that we resolve to do on New Year's are good things. And when you look at that word in the dictionary, you look up the word resolution and resolve, dictionary says this: the thing determined upon, decision as to a future action, to resolve. And like I said, it sounds good. We resolve to do something better. We resolve to make ourselves better. Many times though, like I said, if you make resolutions, maybe you don't, but if you do, oftentimes those resolutions get broken. In the next few minutes, I want to look into this passage from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and I want to look at kind of taking a little bit different of an approach. As we're already a month in, if you're following statistics and you're one of those 75% or so that have already broken your resolution, it's not too late. There's still 11 months left of the year. And it's time, in my opinion, that we turn, at least in the church, from making resolutions to making revolutions. When you look up that word in the dictionary, revolution, it's defined as this: a complete or radical change of any kind. It's taking the concept of a resolution, taking the concept of making yourself better, making a decision to make yourself better, and completely moving ahead, fast forward, to resolve to make a complete radical change. It's exactly what I think most Christians, and I'll put myself at the top of that list, need to do to make ourselves better. So I want to look at a few New Year's revolutions that as we come into the second month of the year, we can decide and resolve to add into our lives, that we can see from this passage. First of all, we need a revolution in our worship. One of the things that draws folks to our little church by the side of the road is our music and our worship, and I'm so thankful for it and how it touches hearts and it blesses so much. And we talk about, you know, the talent like Brother Terry Lee and Miss Vicky and so many others that come through the doors of this little church that share that talent with us. But I'll tell you, if the only time that in your heart you're worshiping is on Sunday morning when you open this or you look at the screen and you sing the three songs that we sing, there needs to be a revolution in your life. There needs to be a change in your life. And often, and not just this church, but when you look at churches all across this country and truly all across the world, we see that our worship experience is often less than what it needs to be. The fault, of course, doesn't lie with our Lord, but it's with those that are actually doing the worship. In these verses, Paul gives some practical advice that I think will breathe new life into our worship. In verse 16, he says simply this, and this translation says, rejoice always. First of all, there's got to be praise in your worship. It literally means to have praise to God in our hearts at all times, not just on Sunday morning when we're singing the old hymns of the faith and we're singing and we're truly worshiping one another, but there needs to be a song of praise in your heart. You might say, well, I can't sing, I can't do this. Just having the attitude of worship in your heart is all that we're called upon to do. There was a time when the people of God were filled with His glory and they weren't ashamed to express it visibly, vocally, yet it seems like in our day we've come to this point where it's like, yep, okay, I'm gonna get ready for church. I'm gonna step into the church. I'm gonna do my hour and then I'm gonna go on with the rest of my week. And we don't give God the time that He craves, the time of our worship, our true Spirit-filled worship to Him. Not only should there be praise, verse 17 tells us that there should be prayer. This translation says, pray constantly. Another translation says, pray without ceasing. When you look at that in the original Greek and you kind of hash it out a little bit. It doesn't literally mean, Paul's not saying that we should walk around with our eyes closed praying all the time. Now, I'll be honest, when you're driving down the Beltway and driving down 95 here in D.C., it makes you wonder if folks are driving around with their eyes closed praying. I don't know. If they're not, some of them probably need to be the way that they're driving. That's a whole nother message, a whole nother time. Like I said, God isn't saying that we're to walk around all the time talking to him. He's saying that we're to, and this is, yes, I remember what it means to not have, and I don't even have it in my pocket, not have a cell phone, have an actual landline that if you didn't want to talk to somebody, you didn't turn on do not disturb on your phone, you just left the phone off the hook. And if someone would call you, a lot of times, if it was that same person, they pick it up, they would still hear what was going on in the background. That's the image that this phrase of pray without ceasing, pray constantly, has. It's like the old spiritual, an old hymn that used to say the royal telephone to heaven. It's like that telephone is off the hook. And any time that we need to cry out to the Lord, we have that open line, that open connection, that attitude of constant prayer. When something happens, when the storms of life rage around you, when you get bad news, when you're just going down the road and something strikes your heart, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it to say, well, here we go, here's another problem? Or is it to say, God, I don't know why I'm going through this, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to have the attitude of worship in my heart to rejoice always, even in those times of trouble. That same verse, when you look at that without ceasing, that constantly, when you look at that phrase in the Greek, it also gives you the image and the picture of the same word of someone that would have a nagging cough. I'm sure we've all been around, and of course now in this day and age, when you're around someone and they just happen to have a cough, could be allergies, they might just have a problem that causes them to cough. Of course, everybody starts going, oh no. Masks come out, the sanitizer comes on the hands, and we'd start increasing the distance and everything else. But that's kind of the picture that Paul is painting here. He may not be coughing every instant of the day, but there's always that little tingle in the back of the throat that says, yep, the cough is always a possibility. Prayer is truly a vital part of the spiritual life of every Christian. We should always be in a place of prayer, for when we are, the Lord will hear us and will answer, as his word tells us, according to his will. Not only should there be praise, not only should there be prayer, but verse 18 tells us that there should be thanksgiving. Simply says, give thanks in everything. Yet again, some people come and whether it's on Thanksgiving or whether it's, we don't really sing the song much anymore, but the old doxology or whatever you want to say, some people think that that's all it takes. That they go through and, you know, once or twice a year, or maybe even just once a week on Sundays, we say, thank you, God, for getting me through another week. Paul's telling us to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're called to be genuinely thankful all the time in our hearts for his blessing in our lives. God has done so much for us that we can never repay him. The least that we can do is bow our heads and give thanks for what he's done. And just as Paul said, after all, it's God's will for us to give thanks. Not only should there be thanksgiving, verse 19 goes on to tell us that there should be a yieldedness to the Spirit of God. 19 says, don't stifle the Spirit. Stifle, it literally means to extinguish or to quench. As Christians, we're often guilty of stifling God's Spirit. How many times in your life have you been going down the road and you just get that little thought in your heart that says, maybe I should pick up the phone and call so-and-so, or maybe I should stop and see so-and-so. Maybe I should just stop and whisper a word of prayer, or maybe you see someone on the side of the road and you say, you know, maybe I should stop and see if they need some help. And of course, you got to be careful nowadays, but regardless, many times we make so many excuses when God moves on our heart. We say, well, you know, I'm running late. I don't have time to pick up the phone and call so-and-so. I don't have time to stop and see them. Maybe we say we don't even have time to stop and whisper a word of prayer for them. Too often our response is to ignore God's Spirit and to say no until we simply extinguish, we stifle, as this verse says, that little flame in our hearts that he tried to ignite. I want to encourage you that when the Spirit of God is moving on our souls, it's our duty to obey and to do so immediately. Not only should there be a yieldedness to the Spirit of God and worship and prayer and thanksgiving, there should be an openness to the Word of God. Verse 20 says, don't despise prophecies. The word despise literally means to make no account of. What Paul is referring to are those people who are guilty of hearing the Word of God preached and simply ignoring it. Those who say that, well, you know, I'm just going to come to church, I'm going to do what I got to do, but they don't allow God's word to speak to them. There again, going back to what we said before, they stifle the Spirit when God's Spirit is moving upon them to make a change, and they just go about doing the same things that they were doing before. James tells us to be more than just hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word as well. Not only do we need a revolution in our worship, we need a revolution in our walk. Paul tells us that we should be and show compassion toward all people. In verse 14, we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You know, many times in our own life, we have folks that come through that are just going through some trials, going through some problems, and they're brought across our path. They reach out to us, whether it's for prayer, whether it's just for help, for a hand, whatever the case might be. And it's easy there again to get so caught up in life and to get on track doing all of these things that we just ignore God's Spirit moving, calling on us to help them, to reach out. Like how Paul writes, to be patient with everyone. We're reminded that not everyone and not every Christian matures at the same rate. Paul tells us to be patient. We must never be guilty of giving up on one another. Not only should there be a revolution in our worship, a revolution in our walk, but there should be a revolution, finally, in closing this, in our witness. Verse 22 says this: stay away from every kind of evil. This verse challenges us to hold ourselves back from anything, even the hint, even something that just looks like evil. Something that looks like sin. Too often God's children, unfortunately, can't be discerned from those who are lost. I've said this before, even from this pulpit. If you were brought to trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? All too often, many folks that come into our lives and come across our paths, many times we are the only glimpse of Jesus. We are the only Bible, so to speak, that they'll read. There's an old song that we used to sing growing up that said, let others see Jesus in you. It says, your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Do others see Jesus in you? That's what we're called to do. We're called upon in this verse, this last verse that I just read, stay away from every kind of evil. We're called upon to live a life completely different from what God called us out of. I don't know what resolutions you made, if you made any, a month ago, almost a month ago. I don't know if you've kept them. Like I said, I'm going to go ask you to raise your hand, because I will be right there with you that and say, well, I didn't keep my resolutions because I didn't make any resolutions. It's nothing bad with and nothing wrong with making resolutions, but what changes do you need to make in your life? What, not just resolutions, but what revolutions, what radical changes do you need to make in your life? We're called upon to live a life that's separate, a life that's holy, a life that's pointing others around us to God. If you're no different than the world, then why would the world want what you have? If you don't walk around with the joy that God promises to give, why would the world and those lost in it want what you have? I don't know what changes we need to make. I don't know what changes you need. Maybe you're right where you need to be. And if that's the case, then just like Paul said in that letter, be patient with those around you, those that aren't quite there yet. Encourage them. Help them to get to the point where you're at. Whatever the case might be. Like I said, we're a month into this year. It's not too late to make those changes. It's not too late to decide to make a change. To decide to give everything that you have. To do whatever it takes to lead the lost to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that not only have you called us out from this world, but you've equipped us, you've given us everything that we need to live a life that's pleasing to you if we will only just do it. Help us to live our lives with an attitude that is constantly wanting to worship you, that's constantly wanting to give you praise, that's constantly wanting to cry out to you and to give thanks to you no matter what's going on in our life. Help us to live that radical life, that radical change, whatever the change might need to be made in our lives to get us to that point that we are just one in one with you, walking, fellowshipping with you every single day. That our lives would point others to you, that they would want what we have. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Blessings from Beulah Street. If you have a prayer request or if you'd like more information about Mount Calvary Community Church, please call us at 703-971-0165. We'd love to hear from you. Mount Calvary Community Church is located at 6731 Beulah Street in Alexandria, Virginia. You can find live webcasts of our Sunday services on Facebook and find us online at www.mountcalvary.cc. You can hear replays of this and other Blessings from Beulah Street programs by going to blessingsfrombeulahstreet.com. Click on the Listen button. Now, on behalf of Senior Pastor Charlie Wood, Associate Pastor Matt Lanham, and everyone at Mount Calvary Community Church, I'm Roger Wallace. Thanks for listening.